Welcome to The Lay Disciple, a ministry of Truth Seekers Fellowship. Lay teacher Tom Murray will continue answering the question, what kind of Messiah did the Old Testament reveal? Today, Tom continues our study by discussing the plurality of God and the name of God. Keep listening.
Well, welcome back. I was telling you in our last broadcast that the biggest problem that Jewish minds have with accepting the Christian teaching about the Messiah being Jesus, and that the Messiah, first of all, is God, is in Judaism, they do not believe that the Messiah was to be God, that he was to be a man. And secondly, they do not believe in the triunity of the Godhead, or that God is in fact one God, but a triune being. And therefore, to share the truth with our Jewish friends, we have to be able to explain to them, because I can tell you that are listening to me, if you're Christians, that the one distinguishing characteristic of all cults is that cults do not believe in the triunity or the Trinity. All cults believe only that Jesus is not God, and that the Holy Spirit is not God. In fact, many of them don't believe that there is such a thing as the Holy Spirit. So the one characteristic of all cults that are not biblical would be that they do not believe in the triunity of the Godhead. Now, I know that some of the information that I'm giving you is fairly technical, but I have to remind you that I am a lay person. I have not had any seminary training, but I became intensely curious to know all the truth that I could know from Scripture, and I have found that truth is worth any time and effort I might put into discovering it. Because once you do discover the truth as God reveals it, that truth does not change. It's predictable and it's consistent. And therefore, it's not like our current culture or current morality, which tends to shift with just the opinions and the whims and the personal habits of individuals and culture. But truth has been something worth pursuing for me, and I encourage the same for you. Well, let's go back to the idea of Elohim, and we want to look now. We looked at the plural noun Elohim, which is used for God, and it is a plural noun, but let's look at the plural verbs in the Hebrew that are used with the term Elohim. In other words, if you have a plural noun, you also have to have a plural verb. Now, Elohim is in fact plural, and the verbs which are used with it are always singular when they are applying to the true God. So this gives us a little bit of a clue. Even though the word Elohim or the noun may be plural, the verb, whenever it is referring to the one true God, the verb itself will be singular. And it will always be plural, the verb will, when it's referring to false gods, a plurality of false god. Now, the rules of Hebrew grammar require that verbs agree with the associated noun in both the gender and in the number. That is, if there are three in the noun, there must be three in the verb, both number and gender. If the noun is masculine, the verb has to be a masculine verb, according to Hebrew grammar. Now, when Elohim, that term, is used for pagan gods, these rules are always followed, and a plural verb is always used in the Hebrew Scriptures, because the verb has to agree with the noun, both in gender and in number. But when Elohim is used in the Hebrew Scriptures of the one true God, these rules are normally broken. The plural noun Elohim is usually followed by a singular verb. While it is true that this is most often the case, that is, there will be the plural noun Elohim, referring to the one true God, followed by the singular verb, this isn't always the case. There are several places in the Hebrew text where Elohim is used, speaking of the God of Israel, and it is followed not by a singular verb, but by a plural verb. Now, there are four examples I'd like for you to listen to. In the book of Genesis, chapter 20, and verse 13, it reads this way, "And it came about, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said to her, 'This is the kindness which you will show to me. Everywhere we go, say of me, he is my brother.'" Now, the one speaking here is Abraham, and he is a worshiper, obviously, of the one true God. But let me tell you what this verse literally says in the Hebrew. It says that God, Elohim, caused me to wander. Then in Genesis 35:7, it says, "And he built an altar there, and he called that place El Bethel, because there God had revealed himself to him when he fled from his brother." Now, these are the words of Jacob, who also was a worshiper of the one true God. And this passage literally reads, "The gods, Elohim, revealed themselves." So it is a plural themselves and a plural revealed in this passage in Genesis 35:7. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 23, it says, "And what one nation on the earth is like thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, and to make a name for himself, and to do a great thing for thee, and awesome things for thy land, before thy people whom thou hast redeemed from thyself, for thyself from Egypt, from nations and their gods." Now, literally, what this passage says is whom God, Elohim, they went to redeem for themselves. Then in Psalm 58:11, "And men will say, surely there is a reward for righteousness. Surely there is a God who judges on earth." Now, literally, this reference to God says, the gods, Elohim, they judge on earth. Now, these four verses are just four examples of many. And again, the use of plural verbs in reference to the one true God supports our teaching and our idea of plurality in the Godhead. We also have some cases where the word Elohim, even though it's a plural noun, is applied to two divine personalities in the same verse. So, as to make our case on plurality even stronger, there are situations in the Hebrew Scriptures where the term Elohim is applied to two personalities. For instance, let me refer you to Psalm 45 and listen to verses 6 and 7. "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of joy above thy fellows." That's the New American Standard Version. What you need to note in this verse is that the first Elohim is the one that is being addressed. "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." And the second Elohim in this verse is the God of the first Elohim. It says, therefore God, Elohim, thy God, the second Elohim's God, has anointed thee, the second Elohim, with the oil of joy above thy fellows. Now there are two distinct personalities right here in this Psalm 45, verse 6 and 7. It is Elohim's Elohim who has set Elohim above his companions and anointed him with the oil of joy. Now let me give you a second example. In the book of Hosea in chapter 1 verse 7, when the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go take to yourself a wife of harlotry and have children of harlotry, for the land commits flagrant harlotry, forsaking the Lord. And in verse 7 it says, but I will have compassion on the house of Judah and deliver them by the Lord their God, and will not deliver them by bow, sword, battle, horses, or horsemen. Now, the speaker in this passage that I read you in Hosea 1:7 is Elohim, who says that he will have mercy on the house of Judah and will save them by the instrument of Jehovah, their Elohim. So in this verse, Elohim number one is promising to save Israel by means of Elohim number two. So again, we see the word Elohim used of two distinct personalities within the very same passage in Hosea 1:2 and 1:7. So we have the basis for a strong case for plurality in the Godhead. And as I have reminded you, in the Hebrew Scriptures, whenever the word Elohim was used in speaking of the one true God, a singular verb would follow, except in those cases where I gave you the four instances where the word Elohim was used, but then there was a plural verb. Now, that would indicate that there is plurality in the Godhead. And then the Psalm 45, 6-7 and Hosea 1:7 both speak the word Elohim, but it applies to two divine personalities in this very same passage, which gives strong credence to plurality in the Godhead, but not Trinity or Triunity. But we'll keep building on that, and I'll see you in our next broadcast.
Thanks, Tom. It's amazing to see how these ancient teachings are so relevant today. If you would like to learn more about our ministry, why don't you look at our website at www.milktomeat.org or call us at 901-685-3385 or outside Memphis, call toll-free at 866-685-3385. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll see you next time right here for The Lay Disciple.